And we are ready from Yer HaKodesh Yerushalayim to begin our Daf Yomi today in Masechet Pesachim, Daf Samachet. We're a little bit behind, and today we begin on Daf Samach Zayin Omid Beis. The last thing we learned is about one-third of the way up, Omar Mar. Zav v'chol zav l'rabot ba'al keres. Maybe we've been dealing with the issues of dechia of the din of Tuma and dechia of the din of Shabbos, both when it comes to the korbanos tzibur, like the tamid, and when it comes to the korban Pesach. And of course, this has been sort of thematic because when we began discussing the zmanim of Pesach, it was in terms of the relationship of the Pesach and the tamid in the first place. So it's not surprising that we find that the dinim bichlal of b'moado relate the general concept of inyonim of korban tzibur to the korban pesach, which is not really a korban tzibur, but it's brought as if it's a korban tzibur. It's brought with everyone together. So there's really two completely different concepts of korban tzibur. A korban that is literally brought by each individual in the tzibur, and a korban tzibur that is brought by the tzibur as a whole for each individual. And this has many implications, but right now what we're looking at is the relationship to the dinim of the zmanim, the relationship to the dinim of Shabbos, when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, and the relationship to the dinim of Tuma, when the tzibur is tame, which we use the korban Pesach as the model, and then we apply it to all the korbanos tzibur, as we've seen so far with the relationship of b'moado. So in doing that, we also got into the details of which tameim are mutter in the case where something is being brought as a korban tzibur, and which tameim are actually nitcha lepesach sheni as yechidim. We found out that that's very, very different, and that all tameim can be nitchas yechidim to Pesach Sheni, but that only a tameim meis is able to bring in the case where the tzibur is tameim. But we did learn that despite the various differences in halachas between the three separate madregot of tuma, which was the kol tzorua, the kol zov, the kol tamei lanefesh, so we had three separate madregas that on the surface we linked those levels of tuma to the levels of Kedushas HaMachaneh. So we had Machaneh Shechina, Machaneh Levia, Machaneh Yisrael, and the extended concept of Machaneh Yisrael, which applies to Metzora, in which he's Osir on any city that was Mukav Choma. There is a difference, though, when it comes to the city Mukav Choma. If he's Nichnas, he doesn't get Malkus, whereas if he's Nichnas Yerushalayim, he does, but that's beyond right now our level. But it turns out that, interestingly, we discovered yesterday that since the Torah uses the Lashon of V'chol, it means to expand the envelope of each one of those sets, so that even though on the surface we were talking about three completely different levels of Tumah, one is a Tumah that could be maybe only a Tumas Erev, and the other is a Tumah that's a Tumas Shiva, but not only that, it's Tumah that's Yotze Migufo. And the other is a level of Tumah that's Mechayevim in Priya Prima, Mitzvah Taimeh Bebiya Lo'el, and so on and so forth. It turns out that each one of these is actually a much broader envelope than we would have thought, and that Tumah's Meis, which on the one hand does require Hazoya Shlishi V'Shvi'i, includes even Maga Sheretz, and all of the Magoim that would be Metame and Adam would be included in that. And the next thing that we learned, which brings us to today's discussion, is that the V'chol Zav also broadens the envelope of Zivos, which is a Tuma Shiva, and has the special requirement of Mayim Chaim, and so on. We broaden that to include this simple Tuma of a Balkeri, which is sort of similar to a Zav in a very general sense, although in people's minds who aren't aware of the real dinim and the differences, they think that the genital connection is so important that it's basically the same thing, which is the Gemara doesn't even discuss. It's not an issue, the fact that it happens to be something that's genital and may involve various illnesses that are genital illnesses. That's not the point. The point is that It's tuma that's yotze migufo. Because of that, we're going to connect it to any of the tumas that are yotze migufo. It happens to be that genitalia are connected to tumas that yotze migufo. And it isn't the same material at all. And there's a difference between normal discharges and abnormal discharges that are pathological discharges. Obviously, it's a totally different issue. But nonetheless, the v'chol is marba tuma that's yotze migufo, even as a balkeri, to be included in the dinum of ziva. So that's really weird. So what was that coming to tell me? So according to Rabbi Yochanan said that the idea is that a Zov, and we were saying Zov, V'chol Zov, L'Rabba's Balkeri, and this is where we're up to, this seems to be a raya to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said, I was mekabel two halachas. This is the way Rashi learns it, that these two halachas have nothing to do with each other. In reality, there is definitely a relationship between the two, as many of the Mefarshim point out. And remember, the question of what someone does in the Beis HaMikdash, where one became a Balkeri, those Kohanim that would sleep in the Beis HaMikdash, so they had a mikvah that you got to by walking through the mechilot that were under the surface of the Beit HaMikdash. And this is related, therefore, to whether you're getting out as quickly as possible from the Beis HaMikdash. So two halachas that I was mekabel, as I say, according to Rashi, unrelated halachas. A, michilot lo nikadashu. So the passageways, the underground passageways beneath the Azara are not kadosh b'kedushas ha'azara. That's one thing. And the other thing was that a Balkeri is mishtaleach chutz l'shtei machanot, which is remarkable, because, I mean, Balkeri is one of the lowest levels of tuma that we could have, that would be yotze migufo. And nonetheless, we're going to treat him as in such a chomor way that he is not allowed to even be in the machane levia. And if he can't be in the machane levia, that means not only does he have to get out of the Beis HaMikdash itself, which is the Ezra's Kayanim, he has to even get out of the Ezra's Noshim and out of the Chel and out of the Har HaBayit. All of that is considered to be the Machane Levia. Now, Tosis points out the obvious problem. I mean, once we're going to say that, how in the world could we have a Machane for Levia? Because Machane Levia implies that you're living there. I mean, this is where we learn it out, of course, from the Midbar. If we learn it from the Midbar, it means that your bedroom is in the Machane Levia. Now, it's going to be pretty hard to handle a bedroom if, as a Balkeri, you're not allowed to be there, right? So a lot of good a bedroom does you. So how do you explain the fact that Machane Levia should itself be usher to Leviim who are going to be engaged in normal marital activities and they're not going to be allowed to be in their own bedroom? So, I mean, in a chinami, the mefarshim or mechalik between the area immediately around the Beis HaMikdash, where that was where Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and the Levium would hang out during the day. And then remember, there was that additional area, and that was a kilometer that was between that and the rest of the Machane. That was not Mekudesh as the Machane Levia. That had the din of Machane Yisrael. But it's ad kedei kach, a strange thing to say, that a Balkeri should be mishtaleach michutz l'shtei machanot. And in fact, we actually seem to have a raya that it's not true, based actually on a Mishnah, and this is the Mishnah in Zavim, that says that the din of a Balkeri is the same as the din of somebody who touched a sheretz. Now, what do you think that Mishnah means? Is the same as din of a sheretz in terms of what? I mean, I'm assuming that it means, because what other chiddush could it be telling you? I'm assuming that it means lemachanotam. That in the same way tumas sheretz, which we just learned out, is part of the kol tamei lanefesh, and it's only usher in the machane shechina, which is in the azara itself, and obviously in the heichal. So that's saying the same thing is true of a Balkeri. He's only usher in the actual Ezra's Kohanim. So then that's not a raya totally against Rabbi Yochanan. It's a Farisha Mishnah. Says the Gemara, no, actually, the Mishnah was not addressing the din of the Machane. The Mishnah was addressing the din of the Tuma. And it's saying that just like Maga Sheretz is not Metameyu for Shivas Yomim, so too a Balkeri is not Tame for Shivas Yomim. What, says the Gemara? We never have a Mishnah telling me a Beferish Apostic that any kindergarten child knows that. Hi Tumat Erev Ktiv Bey. V'haytum at erev k'tivei, kol anogea b'em b'motam yitma ad ha'arev. Is that a beferish pasuk? Any child that's learning Vayikra knows that pasuk? And v'ish kitetze mimenu shichvat zera, v'rochatz b'mayim et kol b'sarov v'tamei ad ha'arev. That is a pasuk that any kindergarten child knows. So maybe not kindergarten, first grader, but anybody knows that pasuk. I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that the tumah of a Magash Eretz is the same as the tumah of a Balkari. That's absurd. So it must be telling me a big chiddush, namely that the Machane is the same. But if that is what it's saying, then it is not like Rabbi Yochanan. It's saying the exact opposite. So ask the Gemara, both of them are written beferish in a pasuk, el alav l'machanotam. What else could it mean but telling me that they have the same machana, namely that they only have to leave the machana shechina, which would mean that they're allowed in Walnut Creek, or they'd be allowed, even though that's such a special place, and they'd be allowed in the machana, in the Ezros Noshim, and in the Harabayit. No, says the Gemara, no, I can explain it to you like I said. I believe the Mishnah is referring to the tumah. As you're saying, I mean, isn't it obvious? It's a beferish pasuk. It's not talking about the level of the tumah, meaning that it's only a tumas erev. It's talking about a din of the tumah. So, I mean, basically, if somebody comes running at you and throws a dead sheretz on you, is that going to be batami you? Of course. You're not going to say, well, now, wait a minute, that's an ones. I mean, that was something that should not be batami me. It happened because of something external. So you might have thought that it's the same as the case of a zav who triggers a discharge by too much exercise or too much achila b'shtir or whatever, that is called ba'ones, because there's outside catalysts that have been goring that discharge in that tumah. So you might have thought that the same thing is true about a bal keri. So in other words, even if this keri was stimulated by something, achila, yetera, so on and so forth, so over there, that would also be tar, komashmon, and as opposed to the din of the zav, and this, in fact, would be sort of disturbing to us, because if the Torah, the Maisa says kol zav, to include a balkari, so you might have concluded from that a balkari, where there is any kind of recognizable stimulus that's outside of normal stimulus for ejaculation, that would be called an ones. And just like a zav, when it comes to pathological discharges, is considered to be not tummy if we could trace what it was that caused this to happen. So then the same thing would be true about a balkari. Therefore, I need the Mishnah to tell me that, no, on the contrary, what we're talking about over here is the similarity of a balkari to a sheretz, and that he's metame, even though it was ba'ones. Ask the Gemara. Doesn't make sense. Do me a favor and read the rest of the Mishnah in Zavim, okay? It's same Mishnah. And tell me whether you think that really holds water. The Mishnah continues with other comparisons. So it says, a boel nida is ketame mate. Now, what is that talking about, okay? Somebody sleeps with a nida. So the din is uti nida to alav, that he becomes tame for shivas yomim as if he himself is a nida, right? Now it's saying that a boel nida is like a tame mace. Now explain to me what that Mishnah is addressing, okay? Because you're saying the first part of the Mishnah is addressing the level of tumah. That's what you said. Not the level, but the dinim of the tumah, right? Tumah ba'ones, by a sheretz, by a balkari. What does it mean over here? Ilay mele tumah tam. Now what? It's telling me that both of them are tame for 7 days? Again, any child knows that, because the pasuk says beferish hay tumachiv aktiv be vahay tumachiv aktiv be. Both of them say beferish at yamim im shachav, and this is in Chumash Vayikra, which is the first thing that you teach little kids. So that means even a first grader knows that im shachov yishkav yishota vatihini data alavetameshi vat yamim beferish. So that I know, correct? And obviously, everybody knows the din of a tummy mace, that it's shivas yomim and the paradum, and that's also a given. So I don't need a Mishnah. The only thing that the Mishnah could be talking about in this latter case of the Mishnah is, of course, the din of the machaneh. And it must be telling me that the same way that there's somebody who's a tummy mace is usher only in the machaneh shechina, so somebody was a boel nida is also chased out of the Machaneh Shechina. Now, if the Sefer is referring to the Machaneh, so then does it make sense to say that the Reisha is referring to the Tuma? It seems we were right the first time in assuming that the Reisha is talking about the Machaneh, and it's telling me that a Balkeri is not Mishtaleh Chutzeshtei Machanot and is not similar to a Zav, which shoots down Rabbi Yochanan's assertion. Says the Gemara, no, okay, I mean, very not persuasive to me. Midi, Iria, that you call this a proof. I mean, certainly a Mishnah that is coming to tell me a list of dinim and similarities might be referring in the first clause of the Mishnah to elements of the Tumah, namely the question of whether it's Batami Bones, and in the second part may be referring to things that have to do with the Machana. I mean, I don't see anything so bad about that. After all, these things are not interrelated in any way. Okay. So I have a kasha from a brighter than on this assumption of Rabbi Yochanan, that the din is that a Balkeri has the same din as a Zav, and that he's not allowed into the Har HaBayit. Look at this brisa. Mitzora chamur mizav. And a Zav is chamur mitamei meis. Okay, now we did that already. We know that. But listen to this. Weird. Yotza Balkeri. But that excludes, I think it excludes from our discussion, a Balkeri. And that is that the Tamei mate is more chamur than the Balkeri. So don't compare it seems to be saying, don't compare the Balkeri to the Zav when we were talking about the relationship of the Chumra of Zivas to Tumas Meis. Don't think that includes the Balkeri. No, the Tamei Meis is more chamur than the Balkeri. I mean, it's, I don't know how else you read it. I mean, it says to exclude Yatsa. Okay, meaning Lav Yatsa Michlal Zav. You're telling me that the Balkeri is not meant to be included in the category of the Zav, and instead he's the same as just any old Tomei Meis, meaning that it's only a single Machaneh, and he's Mutter and Machaneh Leviya. Okay, there's another Raya against Rabbi Yochanan. And what it's saying in terms of Tomei Meis, saying, because even the Tomei Meis, who is certainly more Chomer than a Balkeri, I mean, his Tomei Shivas Yomim requires the Paraduma, and even he is Mutter and Machaneh Leviya, so certainly the Balkeri is Mutter and Machaneh Leviya. Makes such good sense. And the language is like perfect, right? So that means the Bryce is saying Rabbi Yochanan is wrong. Says the Gemara, well, no, actually it means something else. Boy, this is a little bit pushy. It means to exclude the Balkeri from, you would think would be only the same as the Tamei Meis because the Tamei Meis is more chamor, and therefore he should be part of the Tamei Meis. No. The Tamei Meis excludes the Balkeri, and instead he gets the same thing as the Machana of the Zav, and then the word She means even though that a Tamei Meis is more Chomer, and even though the Tamei Meis himself is Mutter Malachana Mia, nonetheless it has to be similar to the types of Tuma, not to the Chumra of the Tuma. So obviously a Tuma that comes of Maga, of Meis, is totally different than the Tuma that is generated by one's own body fluids, and therefore it's included in the overall dinim of Zivas, even though the Tumas Meis is more chomer in terms of the halakhas of the Tuma, that's a completely different issue. Okay, fine. So we could read it that way also. Anyway, it turns out that there's actually a Braisa that darshans the din, not from the V'chol Zav, to be Marbe, a Balkeri, to the same Machaneh as a Zav, but we have a Braisa that learns out that a Balkeri is not allowed to go into Machaneh Leviya directly. Because in the Pusik itself, which talks about the din of a Balkeri, so it says, Ki yebecha ish asher lo yeh tohor mikre laila, v'yatza el michutz la'machaneh. This is in the dinim of the war time, supposed to stam the dinim of Tumah. So v'yatzel michutz l'machaneh lo yavo el toch ha-machaneh. That's sort of weird, isn't it? I mean, throw him out of the machaneh and he shouldn't come into the machaneh. I mean, throwing him out, if he's not supposed to be there, I don't understand. I mean, the order seems a little bit weird. So how do we understand the nature of this pasuk? So we darshan it like this. Says Rav Yitzchok Bar Avodimi, Now, I mean, says the Braisa, rather quoted to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi. So the way to understand this is V'yatsa el michutz l'machana is a reference to one machana. So that means if he is in the machana shechina and he's tamei mikra laila, he should get out of there. Okay, but when he gets out of there, lo yavo tocha machana doesn't mean he has a right to go into the machana levia. No. He can't go into the machana levia. So lo yavo tocha machana ze machana levia. Which tells me that a Baal Keri has to be sent out into two separate from the Lo Yavon Tocha Machane and the Yatzal Michutz Machane. Now, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi, who's listening to this pshat, makes the obvious objection that we just pointed out in the nature of the pasuk. It's very, very weird that the pasuk should say he can't come in and throw him out. I mean, it's the way it should be said. Instead, it says throw him out, he can't come in. I mean, you throw him out if he never got in there. So there's something weird, and therefore it says, Rietzko Bar Avadimi, the way that you're reading the Braita doesn't really make sense. I mean, you haven't even brought him in, and already you're throwing him out? So I don't get it. He was in the Machane Shechina before. Now, you never talked to me about his being in the Machane Levia, but you're throwing him out, basically, because if you're telling me he shouldn't come, then he must not be there now. So, I mean, what did he do? Apparate? It's like, I don't get it. He was in the Machane Shechina, and then make sure he doesn't come into the Machane Levia. Okay, so where does he go exactly? So that doesn't make sense to do it that way. I mean, and the same thing you could put in a different way, which is maybe even a little bit clearer, which is Lishna Achrina. You didn't never got him out of the Machane Levia. How are you telling him not to come in? Because when you told him to walk out of the Machane Shechina, and that means he's now in the Machane Levia. He walked out the door, right? And he went into the Ezra Sanoshim, after leaving the Azara, went into the Harabayit. Now you're telling him, no, you can't come in. I mean, obviously that means after he already left, he can't come back in. I mean, otherwise, what are you saying? So how are you bringing him in when he never got out? That's the point. So the whole thing is backwards. So the way you're saying it is very confusing. The correct way that the Braita should be medayit from the Pasuk is like this. That Vayatza el michutz l'machaneh is a reference to Machane Levia. And lo yavo tocha machaneh means Machane Shechina. In other words, look, you got to get out of the Ezra Sanoshim. Hey, you're going the wrong way. That's the Ezra Yisrael. You're not allowed in there. Lo yavo tocha machaneh. Instead, go out. Now, that's rather obvious. What are we going to think? If we're throwing out a Machane Levia, it's allowed to go into the Machane Shechina. But the point is, we need to make mention of these two Machanot in order to make it clear that we're talking about the fact that he was in Machane Levia, right? Otherwise, we'd say, if it only said, Lo Yavol Tocha Machane, I would say that's Shechina. If it says, V'yatza Michutz L'Machane, I would say, that's Shechina. So therefore, by putting it in this strange way, it puts us on notice that, listen, we're not talking about someone who's in the Machane Shechina. We're talking about someone who's in the Machane Levia, which is why we tell him, hey, you can't go there. That's the Machane Shechina. You have to go out to the third Machane. So now the whole thing makes beautiful sense, right? So he became Tame while he's in Machane Levia. We tell him, get out of here. But you should know that you definitely weren't allowed in the Machane Shechina. Okay, so now I know there were two separate Machanas. Wonderful. Makiv la Ravina, wait. I mean, yeah, it's all very nice. If it wouldn't be for the fact that one of these Lashonot is a Lashon Aseh, and one of these Lashonot is a Lashon Lot Aseh. I mean, there's many, many places where the Torah gives you a mitzvah Aseh and a mitzvah Lot Aseh on the same issue. So why isn't this just one of those things? Get him out of here, and if he's not here, don't let him come in. So one would be the Isser Lav, don't come in, and the other is an Isser Aseh, get him out of here. That's very common. So maybe both of them are referring to the same Machana, namely the Machana Shechina. There's no two Machanas mentioned over here. And all it's saying is that he's going to be over both on a mitzvah Aseh and a mitzvah Lot Aseh, one of the most common things in the Torah. What is the hint that you have that we're talking about two different madrigas of Machana? Says the Gemara, it's very simple. It ain't no hint, baby. It's pretty open. Why does the pasuk say Machana twice? V'yatzah michutz l'machaneh, v'lo yavol l'tocha machaneh. I mean, you just say, v'lo yavol, right? I mean, if you're telling me tocha machaneh, then obviously we've got two different machanos that we're talking about over here, and machana, lomalei shma min alitein machana acheret, that there's a different din for isha shayatzah mimenu shechva zera directly from the pasuk without needing to expand the envelope of Zov v'chol Zov. Okay, now we can finally get back to, we're back to our Korban Pesach. We haven't even finished bringing our Korban Pesach yet. And now we are at the point in the Mishnah where we're discussing the things you're allowed to do on Shabbos. And one of those things is Michui Kravav. Now, I'm not quite sure what that is. We had two different things, right? We had Michui Kravav and we had the Rechitzat Kravav. The Rechitzat Kravav is Aser. The Michui Kravav is Mutter. So what exactly is the difference between them? What is michui? Ravuna says it means, shemenakvan besakin, michui means run out. Get the slime out of here. So it means menakvim besakin. We'll see what the lotion of michui has various slimy and sickening connections. So menakvan besakin, so what it means is you perforate the intestines, and that way anything that can flow out of them will get out. And Chia Barav says, no, this is a reference literally to slime. You say somebody's a slime ball. The point is over here that we have this mucus lining of the intestines, which is called the shirka demaya, which becomes very putrid. And that can, it doesn't mean just like a gentle cut open the intestines and let everything leak out. It has to actually be scraped off with a knife. And it's only nafka agav duchka de sakina. This only comes off if you're actually going to use a knife on it. Omar Rabbi Elazar, where does Chia Barav get the idea that we're talking about really disgusting slime ball? My time at Chia Barav, it's actually a pasuk that the word mechim refers to slime balls, referring to rishayim. Because look at this strange pasuk, right? It says that, I mean, it's so unclear what Yeshayahu is referring to. V'chorvot mechim Garim Yochelo. So the charvot, the runes of the mechim, I'm saying that means the runes of the slime balls, and mechim, now mechim must mean fat slobs, right? So mechim could just mean very fat. So we're gonna see, no, it's more than that. So the ruined homes, in other words, of all of these slime balls, the people that used to be the Garim, the wandering Jews who never had where to be, right? That's where they're going to have all of these fancy mansions of all the Rishayim and so on. All of that will be given to Yisrael. Okay, I don't get it. I mean, how do you see this in the pasuk over here? Take a look at the way Rabbi Yosef was mitargaming. Nichseim de Rashiaya Tzadikaya Yachsenun. So what it means that the sickening ones, the slime balls, and that's referring to the Rishayim of the world, that Tzadikim, or a reference to Yisrael as the Garim, they will inherit. Vera'u, now, to understand the whole pasuk, right? The pasuk begins, Vera'u kivasim kidabram. Now, what does that mean? I mean, normally the kvasimi, referring to the sheep, is a reference to Aten Soni. You, Klal Yisrael, are my sheep. Okay, so this would be referring to Klal Yisrael will graze, Re'iya. And what does Kedavram mean? What is that? Is that magic? Abracadavram? Kedavram? What exactly is Kedavram? Omer Menashe Bar Yirmi Omerav. No, Kedavram means as was stated. Kimidubar bam. That's what it means. As was spoken of them. What does that mean? What was spoken of them? Rabbi, that's the, you don't get it. We're explaining the pasuk. The pasuk begins with the fact that Klal Yisrael will be grazing the way it was meant for them. And what is that? That's the continuation of the pasuk. The Chorvot Mechim Garim Yochelu. So in other words, the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Maftiach Yisrael with the Rechush Gadol and so on and so forth, that will be the Kedavram of the Gula Atida. Omer Rava, look, you could say that, but then you can't explain the conjunctive. What in the world is V'chorvot? If this is the definition of the first part of the pasuk, it should just say Chorvot Mechim Garim Yochelu, right? That's the Kedavram. Kedavram, colon, Chorvot Mechim. But if you put in a Vav, so now you're saying, and not only that, but Chorvot Mechim, so this starts a new issue, right? Hashadikti vichorvot, so clearly miltachrita. You're now adding an additional thing, so it can't be the explanation of the first thing. I'll tell you how to understand the point. Elo amarova, what the relationship is kidabra, is the omer of Chanan al amarav, atidim tzadikim shechayu et hamitim. That the people that are tzadikim will have the power to do tchiyat hamitim. Because it says over here, v'ra'u kivasim kidabram. Uchtiv hatam, now note the word v'ra'u, yir'u vashan v'gil'ad kime'olam. Now, what is the connection over here of bashan and gil'ad? And both of them are connected because of the gezeirah shava of yir'u. That's what I'm saying the point is. There is a very important connection between bashan v'gil'ad, okay? And that is the fact that Bashan is a reference to Elisha, and Gilad is a reference to Eliyahu, and the only connection that we know between those two that is really profound is the fact that both of them were Mechaya Mesim, right? So we know that Bashan is definitely related to Elisha. Why? Because it says in Divrei Hayomim, it says that Ya'ani and Shaphat, it's talking about over here, the toldos of God, they were in the Bashan, and that Yanai, which Yanai it should be, and that Yanai and Shaphat, we know Shaphat is the father of Elisha, because it says, Beferish po Elisha ben Shaphat, asher yatzak mayim al yedei Eliyahu. And we know that Gilad is a reference to Eliyahu ha-Giladi, shenemar vayomer Eliyahu ha-Tishbi mitoshvei Gilad. And therefore, just like they were the ones who were Mechaya Mesim, with the Isha Tzarafit on the one end, or the Shunamit on the other, so that means that the Tzon, which are the references to Yisrael and the Tzadikim, they will be Kidabram of those who were Mechaye Mesim. There's another raya to this also. I'm Reb Shubu Bar Nachmani, I'm Reb Yonatan. Atidim tzadikim sheyechayu meitim. We know that from the posik. Od yeshvu zekeinim zekeinot berchovot Yerushalayim v'ish mishamto biyado mirov yamim. That beautiful posik that is outside of my home all those years. And that means that you'll have these old men and women with their walkers or their sticks, their mishenet. And that word mishenet is something that is related directly to Tchiyat HaMitim, because it says v'samta mishanti al pnei ha'na'ar, so that what happened is that Elisha told his Gehazi, this is one of the things that wasn't done properly, he had to end up using artificial respiration and so on, but he just originally told him, take my mishenet. Strange thing to use, mishenet, put it on the child, on his face, and he'll be okay. And in fact, the same lashon is used over here. That's the mishenet. That is just not any old mishenet. So that means that it's roi for tchiyas hamesim. And Ula points out, and for once already we're talking about tchiyas hamesim, that we find a contradiction in the pasuk. One pasuk says, now remember that we've pointed out that this is thematic in Psachim, is these relationships of the transition between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. We've had this discussion from the beginning of the Masechet, the question of or Bizman Hazeh, or in Yemot HaMashiach, or in Olam Haba, and many times in between. So once again, Ula is now asking the Stira. On the one end, it says, Bila HaMavet LeNetzach, which means that there won't be any death. And on the other end, it says, Ki hana'ar ben me'a shana yamuta, will be considered to be a great tragedy. Oy vey, this poor little boy died at the age of just 100 years. Imagine that people die, they just won't die until they're quite old by current standards. So, I mean, is it ubila or is it just delayed death? And Ula answered, Lo kasha. One is referring to Yisrael, they're Bila HaMavis totally. The other is referring to Ovdei Kochavim. Ovdei Kochavim? What do we have Ovdei Kochavim for? Ovdei Kochavim, my Boaz, and what are they doing there? Well, it says, V'amdu zarim v'ra'u tzonechem uvnei nechar ikarechem v'chormechem. So you need, I mean, what do you want? Robots? I mean, we need, you know, real people, right, to do the work. I mean, you got to put in some heart and care. Rav Chisda points out another contradiction. Rav Chisda Rami. K'siv v'chofra halavana uvosha hachama. So, mashma, that they're not going to shine. On the other hand, it says, v'haya or halavana ke'or hachama, v'or hachama yeh shivatayim ke'or shivat hayamim. So that means that there will still be a need for a sun and a moon, except that the sun will be 343 times bigger, brighter than it is now. Shivatayim is 7 times 7, times the 7 days, which is 7 times 7 times 7, which is Geshem. So it means that it's long, brighter, but it doesn't mean that it's mevuyash and doesn't sign at all. Lokasha kanonam haba kanimot haMashiach. Says the Gemara, but what about according to Shmuel, who says there's no difference between Olam HaZeh and Yemot HaMashiach? The world is exactly the same, except that there's no Sheibud Malchios, and we'll be able to be Isaac B'Torah and have a society that is actually real, and that's the difference. So what would it be referring to? So according to Shmuel, we'll have to say both Pesukim are referring to Olam HaBa, and there are different machanais in Olam HaBa as well, relates directly to the discussion of machanais that we've been having. In the Machaneh Shechina, there is only the direct Or HaGonos and the Or HaShechina, which leaves no room for the lower concept of Or. But in the Machaneh Tzadikim, there's still a lower level of Or. Rava Rami, Rava points out another stira in the dinim, in the issue of Tchias HaMeisim. On the one hand, it says, Ani Amit Ve'echyeh. So Kodesh Baruch Hu talks about the fact that he is going to bring back to life. So then, why does it say, Machatzti V'ani Erpa? I mean, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I will bring the dead back to life, do we really need to hear that I will cure those who are hurt? I mean, so he's missing a leg. I mean, if I can replace a whole body, shouldn't be much of a problem to replace a leg, right? So, I mean, the pasuk reads a little bit silly. Elam ha'kadosh baruch hu, ma shani meimit ani mechayeh. Don't misunderstand me. When I say ani amit v'chayeh, what do you think that means? You know, I got the dead coming out of one end of the hospital and I got the newborns coming out of the other end of the hospital, right? But that happens all the time. It's like an assembly line. So the point is, you'll say, okay, so this is what God does. Shoes them out of one door and brings them in through the other door. No. I'm talking about the very same mace is what I'm mechayeh. In the same way that if I tell you I heal, what do you think that means? You think that means we take a clone, replace the broken body, throw it in the garbage pail, and then I present you with the new clone. See? All healed, no more broken leg. No, that's not what it means, right? Okay, so then neither does the first part of the pasuk mean that I just throw him out of one door and bring in a new one from the other door. That's not what it means. It's just like ma shani machatzti ani arpeh, so to ma shani meimit ani mechayeh, tanu rabbanan, ani amit v'achyeh. You might think that this means that one guy dies and another guy lives, right? Like we said, Yochol Mita Be'achad V'chayim Be'achad. So we simply have the typical hospital thing, right? So you've got the morgue on one end of the hospital, you've got the Yoldot on the other end of the hospital, and that's all that it means. So Mita Be'achad V'chayim Be'achad, K'derech Sholam Anoeg. I mean, that's part of the way the world goes, no? No, Talmud Lomar V'chatzti V'ani Arpeh. Just like Makah and Refuah are in the same body, Mita V'chayim is in the same body, Davar Acher. First, it means like this. First, I will be Mechayeh, the individual, as he was as an adult, with all of his busted parts. So, B'tchila, Mashani Mechayeh, Mashani Memita, Ni Mechayeh, and then everything that went wrong will be fixed. So that will mean that there is a separate act of Tchia and a separate act of Refuah. Then we talked about you're allowed to be maktir the chelev on Erev Pesach Tchal B'Shabbos Tanya. This is an amazing kiddush, as Rav Shimon Bar Yochai points out. Take a look at what you can learn from here about how valuable a mitzvah is in its time. Because kama chaviva mitzvah b'shata, hekter chalavim ve'evarim u'ptarim, that's kosher all night long, right? We do not wait until after Shabbos? Why don't we wait until after Shabbos? Why do we have to be Milchalel Shabbos to bring the Emurim on Shabbos proper? If we can bring it, just wait a couple of hours. You'll bring it overnight. Because we always look at the chashivas of the mitzvah b'shahata, and therefore we do it even in the day. Then we talked about harkavato ve'avato. So we have our machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and the Tanakama. So carrying it, or bringing it michutz tchum, or cutting off a yabelet, cutting off a wart that would have passeled it. All of those things are not done according to Tanakama. All of those things are done according to Rebbe Eliezer. Now, the problem is that we just had back in Erevin, okay? We had a Mishnah. The Mishnah said over there, Chotchim yabelet b'migdash avalo b'medina. Now, you are allowed to cut off a wart in the Beis HaMikdash, because, again, the normal, I mean, this we're talking, obviously, we here we're talking about the Korban Tamid or Korban Musaf that we need. And even though normally, if I would take off a wart, it would be also according to most also because of gozes. But since I can take it off by hand instead of with a knife, so then it would only be an issur d'rabbanan and ein shvus b'mikdash. That's the partial way that we understand the Mishnah there. And if you're talking about using a knife, im b'kli, so then you can't do it anywhere. You can't do it in a mikdash and you can't do it in a medina. Fine. But anyway, it does say that there is a way of removing a wart on Shabbos. I mean, for a korban. So why does the Tanakhama say it's usur against the Beferish Mishnah in Erevin? So there's two approaches. One is by Rebbe Elazar, one is by Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Chanina. One says, look, we can be talking about the same case in both Mishnahs, and we're talking about Biyad, right? And the Mishnah over there said Beferish, I'm talking about Biyad. Because the Mishnah over here is also talking about Biyad. And the issue is, what type of wart are we talking about? So the one that says that you're not allowed to do it according to the Tanakhama, which is our Mishnah, that's talking about a lacha. That's talking about a wart which is not dried out. It's a living wart, and that I would be over by taking off by my hand. So that din, even though it's also only the Rabbanan, because that's not the derech, but still, since it should have been done before Shabbos, so because of that, they weren't mutter. In this case, in the case of Erevin, where it says it's mutter, that's in the Beis HaMikdash, that's referring to a dried out wart. And the other one says, no, actually, both Mishnayos would be talking about the same case where it's a lacha wart. And the difference is that the Mishnah over there that's matir is talking about biyad. Over here, it didn't say how you're going to remove the wart. So over here, it's talking about where it's bekli. And there it's saying, the Tanakhama holds that it's usur. And even that, according to Rebbe Eliezer, is mutter. Remember, Rebbe Eliezer holds that anything that you need to do for a mitzvah, remember we had back in Rebbe Eliezer Demila in Shabbos, that Machshirei Mitzvah are Dochik. Wait, so I don't know who said what, but the Mandi Amar who said that the two Mishnayos are talking about the same wart, but using, one is talking about using your hand, and one is using a Kli. Did he have a reason that he didn't want to say the answer that the other one said? I mean, he could have said both of them are talking about Biyad, and they're different warts, not different ways of taking off the warts. Why do you want to do that? No, that's because the chotchim, it doesn't make sense to use the word cutting. It's just cutting a yabelet. If it's dry, right, so then you don't really cut it. It just crumbles. You're using the word cutting. So you'd say that cannot be called cutting off. Sorry. Okay, fine. And what about the mandiyamar? Again, I'm not sure who said what, but the one who said both Mishnah is talking about the same way of removal, namely it's talking about doing a shinoi and removing it by hand. And the difference would be, what type of wart? Is it a lacha or is it a vesha? Did he have anything against saying that both of them would be talking about the same kind of wart, a lacha? And the difference would be how you do it, habiyad, habikli? And yes, I'll tell you, because he'd say to you, it doesn't make sense to say that. Because the Mishnah in Erevin said beferish, it says that in Erevin, kli ha-katani asim. It says, im bikli, note that it already said, im bikli, then kan v'kan usur would be usur in both places. When I need the Mishnah over here to address something that was already addressed beferish in the Mishnah in Erevin. Hey, that's a pretty good point. So how, in fact, do you get away with saying that? The idach, ha-dik-tani kli ha-chai, The point isn't telling me the difference between Kli and Yad. The point is to introduce the fact that it's a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. That's the point, which it didn't mention before in Erevin. It just said it as if everybody agrees to it. That needed and definitely bears repetition because it isn't repetition. Omer Rabbi Eliezer. So then Rabbi Eliezer comes along and he says, look, I mean, for God's sake, if you're even allowed to do shechita, so how could you be usher to do it Rabbon and a shechita as it is a d'oraisa? And then Rabbi Yeshua turns around and he says, what do you mean? You can't compare something that's a mitzvah to something that's a rishus. The Korban Pesach you got to do. You don't have to eat on Yontiv. And in fact, Rabbi Yeshua over here is going to shitasa because he owes you do have to eat on Yontiv. He owed Simchas Yontev is a mitzvah. The same with the Korban Pesach is a mitzvah. And this is a famous machlokas, the Tanya. Rebbe Eliezer, which is here Rebbe Eliezer L'shitato, Rebbe Eliezer says, look, you got a choice. What you want to do on Yontev, okay? If you want to, either you could take the day for learning and for Avodah Shamayim and for Tefillah. So, Ein Lo La'adam B'Yom Tov. Either you could choices. You can eat and drink all day long. Or you can sit and you can learn all day long. This is up to you. There's no chiev to turn Yontev into a stressful day. You can only be a stressful day. So that in order to figure out all of these sugyas and psachim, but you do not have to sit and fress. Rabbi Yoshua says, you do. Chalkeu, you have to use half of it. You use for fressing and the other half you use for stressing. So chetz shel achila v'shtia and chetz shel beit hamidrash. And Rabbi Yochanan says, look, this is because this is clear from the pasuk. One pasuk says atzeret l'Hashem Elokecha, and one pasuk says atzeret tiyelachem. So make up your mind. I mean, these are talking about two different dinim. One is talking about the eighth day of Sukkot, and one is talking about the seventh day of Pesach. But I mean, in both cases, we understand it doesn't make sense that there would be two completely different meanings of the holiday. It's reasonable that they're referring to the same halacha of a chag, and there's two ways of understanding it. Rabbi Eliezer says, look, the Torah is telling you there are two ways to celebrate. You can celebrate lachem, or you can celebrate lashem alokechem. O kulo lashem, o kulo lachem. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua says, no, it's telling you that both of these things are essential for Yontev, and you cannot get away with learning the whole day on Yontev. You are mechuyev to have that su'udas Yontev. Now, again, by the way, this beautiful psak from the Marsh, it's brought mamash halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, that one thing is included neither in Lachem nor in Lashem, and that is chazonis. Chazonis does not satisfy either. And therefore, all of these chazans that are sitting around there showing off their voices are being over on both the Lachem and Lashem. And they're making it impossible for anyone to be Mekayim their mitzvah. Hey, Mamish brings this lalocha. There's all kinds of discussions. Does this mean even if the tzibur is singing along with the chazan, or is it only if they're not singing along with the chazan? But it's an amazing, and it's like so down to earth, you know? Like, this is called Lashem? This is called Lachem? Forget it. Okay, then there's also another question, which is, if this is a din in the Yontev, does it apply to Rosh Hashanah? Because the way that we paskin, which is you're supposed to do chetz shel lachem and chetz shel Hashem, so as the Rambam brings, what that means is that you daven in the morning, come back home for your seuda, go to learn until mincha time, which is after chatzos, then you daven mincha, and then you spend the rest of the day having fun. That's the meaning. It doesn't mean literally chetz shel directly in half. That's not what it means. So now the question is that applicable also to Rosh Hashanah? And this is a big machlokas. According to the Gra, you are not allowed to daven longer than chatzos on Rosh Hashanah either, because it's only supposed to be chetz shel Hashem. What are you doing wasting the whole day over, especially if it's chazonas? You're not allowed to do that. So this year, because of COVID, Baruch Hashem, we were able at least to be machmer a little bit, like the Gra. Okay, anyway, so now looking at other times in the year, and that would include Omer Rebbe Elazar, Hakomodim Ba'atzeret, if we're talking about the other Atzeret, which is Shavuos, everybody's motive. There you can't get away with doing it Kulo LaHashem. And why is that? Because it's Yom Shenitna B'Torah. What you're telling me on the day of Limud, of learning, of Kabbalah Satorah, you're going to spend the whole day learning Torah? What are you, nuts? So obviously, if it's the day of Kabbalah Satorah, That is the day that opens up the door to the joyful participation in the physicality of the world. That was the whole reason that the Malachim couldn't get the Torah, because they don't have anything to do in the world, right? And of course, the simple meaning is, yeah, you have to celebrate. You have to show how happy you are. And Amar Rabba, listen, everybody agrees, Shabbos also. You can't fast all day Shabbos and just sit and learn, because it says, Vikarata l'Shabbat oneg. And Rav Yosef, the same thing is true about Purim. You can't fast on Purim, because it says, by time you may mishteve simcha k'tivo. It says you have to have mishteve simcha on Purim. Now, Mar Berei de Ravina, Kula Shata Vayasi Petanita, Lavami Atzarta Purim Ala Yom de Kippur. Mar Bar Ravina would fast all year round, except for Shavuos, Purim, and Erev Yom Kippur. The reason he didn't fast on Shavuos is because Yom Shnit Nabatera. He didn't fast on Purim because Yemei Mishteva Simcha is part of the definition of Purim. And Erev Yom Kippur, he didn't fast because Chiya Barab Midifti's famous Maimer, it says, V'nitem et nafshotechem b'tish'a l'chodesh. What? V'chiba tish'a mitanim? There's no din of fasting on the ninth. The din of the fasting is b'asirim mitanim. So it must be coming to tell me that anybody who eats and drinks on the ninth of Tishrei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if he fasted 2 days. He kept 2 days of Yom Kippur, Tishi'i v'asiri. And now this idea, of course, is a big problem. Does that mean that Mar Berei de Ravina would fast on Shabbos? I mean, he doesn't even mention Shabbos. It's the only time they went. So he fasted on all of the Yomim Tovim and on Shabbos? So a lot of discussion of this. Basically, la halacha, we take on that the meaning is that Mar Berei de Ravina, the Ravid approach is Mar Berei de Ravina would fast Sheni v'chamishi all year round. And he was makabel that as a neder, and he did not exclude from his neder with a condition, on condition that it isn't yontiv. He would only say on condition that it isn't Purim, or on condition that it isn't atzeret, or only for that, right? And then a condition is an erev Yom Kippur. But it certainly doesn't mean that he fasted on Shabbos. He only fasted on Sheni v'chamishi. That's the Ravid's approach. The approach that is very nogea l'halacha is the question of whether he meant I would fast a ta'anit chalom on any day of the year, including Shabbos, which is the halacha, from which the post can bring a raya that you see from here that you're allowed to fast a ta'anit chalom on yontiv from his hanhaga. So this becomes very nogea l'halacha. So it means the only time that he excluded were those three occasions of Atzeres Puria and Malad Yom HaKippure, from the Tainus Chalom. Rabbi Yosef Sanhaga, on every Shavuos, he would say, make me an Iglat Yilsa. Iglat Yilsa is usually, we translate as the third born, which is the strongest, where the mother has arrived at full maturity and is able to provide the child full incubation. And others learn it means that is grown to one-third of its full development, the particular animal. And he said, meaning, I want something really, really special today, because he loved how humidic a garment. It wouldn't be for this day, which has made all the difference in the world to my life. You know how many Joes are out there? Look at that. Kama Yosef Iga Bashuka. The marketplace is full of Joes. That's why they call them common Joes. Well, I want to be a common Joe. No way, Jose. And therefore, I am only Rav Yosef by virtue of this amazing day that gave me the Kli Chemda to become as unique as I am. Rav Sheshes Kol Tlat Yumam Adelei Talmudei. He used to chazer everything that he learned every 30 days. And then for the Siyum, he would swing himself on the door. He would lean up against the Ibra Dadasha. And he would say to himself, listen, you, Chadoi Nafshoi, Chadoi Nafshoi. You, my Nefesh, you be happy, because everything that I've done, all the work that I've done over these 30 days, it's all for you, baby. Lach karai, lach tanai. Wait a minute. I thought like the whole Indian of learning Torah is that it supports the whole world, and he's nikra chaver, and they call him kula. And I went, wait, what happened? Vomer Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer, ilmolei Torah lo niskaimu shamayim v'aretz, shenemarim lo briti yomam v'layla chukah shamayim v'aretz lo samti. So how come he's not accepting the fact that he's providing for the entire survival of the universe? That's true, but me koraki avidina shadaita denafshika avid, or the Rabbeinu Chananel as me ikra. So the essential, a person only experiences existence through himself. And therefore, whatever he's doing, even if it ends up supporting the entire universe, his access point to existence is him. And therefore, it's always going to be the universe through me. And it's adaiti d'nafshei ka'avit.